Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Final hour of Grant and Danny kicks off. 106.7 The Fan. Sean Doolittle will be with us at 1:30 today. The Nats will be home for Game 3 of the NLCS on Monday. Game 4 of the NLCS will soon there follow. Here's what I'm thinking for the rotation in this series, and this is all very much up in the air, but Anibal Sanchez is presumed to be the Game 1 starter tomorrow night. That would mean Max Scherzer would probably be lined up to pitch in Game 2 on Saturday.
Right, because he lasts through Sunday.
Right.
Yep.
So Sunday's off, and then Monday for Game 3 you'd have Steven Strasburg. Then you'd have Patrick Corbin's first start of the series for Game 4, so he's going to have a bunch of rest going into the middle of next week. It would get a little bit tricky and hairy after that, and maybe it all depends after four games on what the series is. Could be over, obviously.
Sure.
One way or the other. But assuming you are 2-2 as opposed to being up or down 3-1, maybe your decision changes. I would think, though, that Max Scherzer on 3 days rest in Game 5 would be a probability. And then you would go to Strasburg and Corbin, and I'd presume that'd be a normal rest for Games 6 and 7. So you'd have one start for Anibal Sanchez, 6 of the 7 games if it went 7, from your big three, Max, Stras, Corbin. And really only Scherzer throwing the 1 day on 3 days rest. And then Anibal Sanchez by then would be available to give you a few innings in relief if need be.
That's ran out notwithstanding any other kind of, you know, unforeseen disaster. But yeah, if it goes according to plan, the chance would then end up being that you'd have to have one guy go on short rest. And presumably Scherzer would be that guy. Again, it all depends on how the series goes. If let's say, and God willing, this is a problem, you're up 3-0, maybe you push Scherzer back to regular rest, you know?
Man, do I hope we get to have that conversation. That
would be a wonderful problem to have. But otherwise, I'd expect Max Scherzer to go on 3 days rest.
Yeah, and frankly, I am focused just on this first game. I'm kind of going game to game here with a house money NLCS now for the Nationals. It's a good place to be, right? Because the expectations were so low for them coming into the wild card game and in the division series. I don't know that anybody thought they would be here. This is the group of all the groups. This bullpen was the one that would get through to the NLCS. It's pretty amazing. But Anibal Sanchez was great in his 5 innings against Milwaukee, against the Dodgers in Game 3. You just hope that he can give you a similar outing against the Cardinals. Maybe he goes 6. Maybe he's allowed to go the 6 this time. But if he gives you 5 innings, a couple runs again with 8 or 9 strikeouts, I think you just take that ticket to the window, man. Enjoy that. Dan is in Spotsylvania on the Fan. What's up, Dan?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I don't know what to do with my hands. Oh, my God.
That is correct.
Isn't it just so much fun to have postseason success? I just don't know how to react. This is amazing. So I got a couple things. First, I'm in the middle of a 6-hour drive home. And I've just got Hall & Oates playing in my mind, double gunning,
sure you do.
Pointing that cars to my right, pointing that cars to my left. Love it.
As well you should be, sir.
And then my second thing, you know, in a perfect world, I know it will never happen. I love Mike Rizzo and everything he does. I need him and Brian McClellan to work together and figure out this Rendon Soto situation because I need them batting 3-4 for the next 10 years of my life. Please and thank you.
Appreciate you.
Well done, sir. Get some advice from Brian. Hey, Brian, how do you keep? Hey, Brian, how's it going? How do you keep stars in your own clubhouse? And then they do it.
I'm into that, Brian. Well, it helps in hockey that they're not paying $240 million for anybody.
There's no Scott Porras in hockey.
That's not really how it works in that sport, but I get what you're saying. Yeah, it's one of those days, man. You drive down the road, your windows are down, it just feels better outside. The air smells nicer.
You're not sweaty because it's the fall. It's the correct time of year.
Food tastes a little bit better.
Yeah, it does. I had a salad for lunch, and it actually was delicious.
Was it?
No, but it still tasted better than it normally would have.
Today's one of those days. Maybe you just do something nice for someone. Maybe you pick up the fast food meal for the people behind you in line. Everything went your way last night.
Pay it forward. Well, Howie Kendrick this thing forward.
Let's karma this thing ahead into game one against the Cardinals. Owen in Williamsburg, how are you?
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Buddy.
Two things. So my girlfriend last night came home from law school, stopped at the store, and picked up a bottle of champagne just in case anything good happened. And of course, it did. I almost forgot about it in the freezer because it was room temperature at first. And we celebrated. We did not spray it around the living room like the team did. We drank it. But it turned out to be the same champagne that they were spraying around. And then the other thing is, I'm just really happy for my parents who've been season ticket holders since the park opened, and they're moving to Uganda in the spring, so this is their last ride.
Wow.
And they get a chance to see this team do something, which is cool.
That is really cool. Like a champagne supernova. My guy, getting to taste the exact same champagne of the Nationals.
I liked it. The nice last hurrah before you go to Uganda.
Hey, that was quite a random tidbit there.
They're moving to Delaware. They're moving to Cleveland. Nope, they're going to Uganda. Just casually doing that.
I'm sorry, they're going to Houston?
No. Uganda.
Oh, really then?
Yeah.
There's a backstory there that I want, but today's not that day. Alex is in McLean. Hello, Alex.
Yo, guys. What's going on, man? I'm on cloud nine right now. I'm feeling so good. I know you guys are.
Why are you feeling good? What happened in your life that you liked so much?
I don't know, man. I got Dave Jagler ringing in my ears. He's reminding me of what happened last night. But yeah. I got one thing I wanted to bring up, which was Parra and Rizzo picking Parra up, who no less hit a grand slam against the Dodgers back in May. But I feel like he was so big time for the clubhouse, just bringing everybody together. He took some of the pressure off of Davey. And like in a season of redemptions, that's got to be a big one. I want to get y'all's thought on that.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate you. Just when you have success like this, you know, when like the Jason Worth moment happens, it really only lasted for 24 hours, right? It bought the Nats kind of a stay of execution before whatever happened. And this is all dependent on where they go from here. I mean, if they get swept out by the Cardinals, it's still the furthest they've been, and it's still the new flag as you're climbing up Mount Everest, right? Before Sir Edmund Hillary gets to the very top, like James Smith got 90% of the way, and he put a flag on the ground. You go past it, right? You keep doing that. You keep superseding old goals. And each of these calls and these moments become indelible. I mean, again, I will forever care about the Redskins because of what happened when I was a little kid. It will never leave me. And those moments that I can barely, I don't remember anything other than I saw stars because I screamed so loud next to my dad and my Uncle Kirk.
Well, guess what? All those kids that aren't Redskins fans now because they have none of those memories and moments, they had another one for the Nats last night. They got one against the Brewers. They got another one last night. Maybe they were asleep because they were in bed. But they woke up, and unlike me, so many times during my childhood and my life when I go, did my team win last night? And the answer was no.
No.
Their team won last night. And the Nationals fan base continues to grow. Parra was picked up, and I thought that was going to be a big, fat, nothing burger with bacon and cheese on it, to be completely honest with you. I still remember that home run against the Dodgers. That day, I don't remember the specific reason, but my in-laws were in town, and like my father-in-law was sitting on the couch, and he asked me, he's like, what about this Parra guy? And I was like, oh, well, kind of gave him the backstory. He's a really good defensive player with the Giants, and he's been on some winning teams. Is he going to help us? I said, well, he can't hit. And he's just a terrible hitter. He's not going to do anything. Boom, grand slam. And sure enough, within the first few weeks, he was great, and he ended up being a game changer in the clubhouse for them.
But
they really needed.
It's a cultural thing, man. Sometimes we underestimate that. It's not fantasy baseball. It's not robots going out there and behaving. Sometimes you need the right ingredient. And sometimes, by the way, that wouldn't be the right ingredient for a team. For some teams, you wouldn't want that shtick. Like, you'd look down and go, what are you wearing those goofy glasses for, dude? We don't have time for that. They need to ramp up their intensity. This group, with all the expectations and everything that they've been through, needed that looseness. And that's the guy. Him and Anibal Sanchez basically are the
Dozier.
Sort of the fun guys. The fun, whatever the opposite of the fun police is. They're like the fun coordinators in the clubhouse.
He's a fun guy.
He's a fun guy.
Brian Dozier, I would throw into that mix as well. Here was Dave Martinez after the game last night.
I'm really excited, one, for the boys in that clubhouse that fought all year. You know, as you all know, you know, we were not 19 and 31 at one point and turned this thing around. So I've said this all year long that these guys, this group, is resilient. They won't quit till the last out, and they play hard, you know, every single day. As far as this franchise, man, I couldn't be prouder to be a part of this franchise. For the fans who showed up, you know, through all those miserable days that we had early, hey, thank you, appreciate it. And yeah, we're playing for National League Championship. A lot of fun.
Yeah, last two teams standing to win a pennant in the National League. Let's go to Maureen in Maryland, who's waiting patiently. What's up, Maureen?
Hey guys. Oh my gosh. Sweet. It doesn't get any sweeter.
What a day.
What an amazing, amazing game last night. But you know what? I'm a lifelong baseball fan. I'm from New York. My first memories of baseball is 69 Mets. That's when I was a kid. And I went through the Mets to 86 and all of that. And then moved down to Washington in the mid 90s and was so excited when we got our own team. And so I've been through so much with the Nats. But I just want to make one point, which I think is so critical, right, where we are right now, is don't you think this is the way it was meant to be for the Nats? It was meant to be that they would come in as the wild card, that they would be the pronounced underdog. I mean, every other time they had so much pressure on them. They were expected to win. Harper was, where's my World Series ring? You know, it was so much pressure on really a young team in the mid 2000s to the late 2000s, a pretty young team. And they were meant to, as you just said about Parra, to relax, to say to themselves, you know what? Nobody thinks we can do it, but we know we can do it, and we're going to slide in under the radar, and we're going to show everybody what we can do.
Yeah, and the entire year was basically the prologue to last night. It was as if all the tests that they'd passed got them ready for beating the Dodgers in five games. I don't normally get overly excited about, like, random, quote-unquote, celebrities interacting with me on Twitter or anything.
Okay.
But I weirdly just got steamed up, and tell me if I'm overreacting. When I was a kid, I used to mark out for Dontrell Willis. Do you remember Dontrell Willis?
Of course I do.
The D-Train, who had the high leg kick.
Unbelievable leg kick. He also raked, by the way.
He did. But I loved that guy. He was one of my favorite players in baseball. So anyway, I tweeted last night. This was like 15 hours ago now. Howie Kendrick has had a horrible series. He is up with the bases loaded. I love sports so much. By the way, that was before he hit the grand slam.
Pretty homer.
I didn't think he was going to hit a grand slam, but my point was...
Sack fly, potential game-winning RBI.
Yeah, of course, this guy's in the batter's box right now. During this segment, Dontrell Willis just tweeted and goes, absolutely, we live by each other. He's a great guy. I'm happy that moment came for him. Just like some random tweet from some random guy. Oh, wait, this is Dontrell Willis.
Hello, Dontrell Willis of my childhood.
I'm steamed up for this.
I love that.
I normally am like, oh, Dontrell Willis. I don't know why. I'm just like, D-Train, that's my dude with the leg kick.
Of course, man.
He was the coolest guy going, by the way.
He was nasty for, love like, I would say like a three-year period where you... He was must-see television.
It's also funny that he's just like casually, like, yeah, me and Howie live near each other.
That's right.
I'll bet you guys have nice houses. He's Danny. I'm Grant. This is The Fan, Sean Doolittle at 1:30 right here on G&D. Can't wait to talk to Sean Doolittle coming up in about 10 minutes. Doolittle's been on with us all season long as part of a agreement we had with him to be exclusively on 106.7 and through his agency. Just the way this works is if we have a player on every single week throughout the course of the year, they're normally paid to come on. Doolittle's agreement ran out. We're not paying him anymore. He wanted to celebrate with Nats fans today and be on the show and chat it up a little
bit. Very cool.
Which is pretty sweet. I think, you know what would be neat too? If anybody wants to hop in at 800-636-1067 and talk to Sean or congratulate him or whatever, you can call in and maybe we can get a couple calls on.
I'm into that.
If you got a question for Doolittle or you want to chat with him when he's on the show in a few. Let's go to Mo in Adamstown. You are on The Fan. We are celebrating the first ever division series win for the Nationals. And as you'd have to imagine it was going to go down, come from behind fashion when everyone thought they were going to lose.
Hey, what's up, fellas? Long time listener, first time caller.
Appreciate you.
We like hearing that.
I'm a baseball guy, Danny. I think we got a lot in common. I played shortstop at George Mason from '95 to '97. I think we might have played against each other, but now I'm big and fat. But oh well.
You got that in common as well.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Anyway,
if he played against you, Danny, do you think he has a horror story of you like being over the? Every time someone says they played against Danny, you're always like, if I did anything crazy, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's pretty true. I mean, you probably saw something.
Yeah, I think it was actually at George Mason that you all came over. But anyway, get to the Nats real quick. I'm a little worried. First of all, Kurt got hurt. I'm not really Gomes is scaring me a little bit lately, and the Cardinals run as much as we do, so I'm worried they're going to steal the hell out of some bags on us. And, you know, we play tomorrow night. I think we need to start getting ready. I don't know what we're going to do at catcher.
Yeah, it's a fair question. I'll say this. Suzuki's arm's a problem anyway, because he really wasn't giving them much of a chance at all to throw runners out. So while as a catch-and-throw guy, mechanically, you might take him at times over Yan Gomes, I think Gomes' arm strength at this point far surpasses that of Suzuki. It became a track meet. The Dodgers couldn't steal bases this year. Every time Cody Bellinger got on, he was taking
second.
He was gone.
Yeah, it didn't matter.
Some of that's off the pitcher. Not ideal that you're not getting a lot of help, say, from Strasburg.
It's not like Strasburg's quick to the dish.
But Suzuki did not look to me like he was in his pre-elbow form.
No.
Let's go to Jeff and Laurel on Grant and Danny. You can keep the calls coming. Lines open first time today at 800-636-1067. That's 800-636-1067. Jeff, the Nats are on to the NLCS.
Guys, I called earlier this week. We talked about, I tried to convince you it's our year because the gods are on our side.
Ah, I remember
There's
your
more
call.
More evidence.
I was thinking about more you
evidence
last night.
More evidence last night. Who whispered in Dave Roberts' ear, send Clayton back out in the eighth?
Yeah.
Who whispered, don't let Kolarik pitch to Soto? Why did Roberts leave Kenley Jansen in the bullpen?
No one knows right
in
now.
In the 10th, because somebody whispered in his ear. And I'm telling you, it's our year. Don't worry. One last thing to leave you with. Both ballparks are outdoor stadiums. See if the rain affects the game in our favor. For some unknown reason, the gods control the rain. That's all I got.
Jeff and Laurel is going so hard in the paint with his baseball gods theory, but I'll tell you what, everything worked out for the Nats last night.
I can't actually prove him wrong, which is frustrating.
Yeah.
I mean, I can just use logic.
I'm not on that team,
that
so to speak, that the baseball gods, quote-unquote, have picked a team that's going to win, and it's the Nationals, and for some reason they didn't all the years before this. But
are they doing that in Tampa right now, where they got a Game 5 against Houston? I don't know.
His thesis didn't look bad last night, I'll say that. Sean Doolittle, the last couple times we've seen him, 4 outs of great relief in Game 4 at home. Couldn't help but smirk walking off the field. I want to ask him about that. And then last night, the perfect inning of relief to slam the door to get the final 3 outs against the Dodgers. He was on the mound as the dogpile in the infield started. He joins us next live right here on Grant and Danny. The Nats will be playing for the National League Championship against the Cardinals in a best-of-seven series starting tomorrow night in St. Louis. They're about to jump on the plane in the next couple of hours and leave L.A., but before they do, Sean Doolittle joins us on Grant and Danny as we continue to discuss a division series win presented on GND Today by PVI Office Furniture. Fast, excellent, affordable business grows with PVI. Visit their showroom in Frederick, Maryland, or online at PVIPVI.com today. Sean, what a night it was. I feel like it was just perfect, man. You guys are down 3-0 all night. You're down 3-1 in the eighth. You're taking on 106-win heavyweight. And, of course, you come back and you win. How fitting for this group.
Yeah, right. It was a really similar situation to the wild card game. We noticed it in, like, the sixth or seventh inning down in the bullpen. Oh my gosh, this is the same setup as the wild card game, being down 3-1. And sure enough, that eighth inning came around, and this time we tied it in the eighth, and then obviously won it after that with Howie's grand slam. But it just seems like that's how it had to go for this team. We said that was maybe the most 2019 Washington Nationals win of the season, It's got to be right up there with the wild card game. But just the way that we found ourselves down early and found a way to come back and win late, it just seems like something we would do.
I'm going to try not to Chris Farley show this thing, Sean, but it may steer into that territory, so just bear with me. you pitching last night, all right? You remember the scene in Peter Pan with Robin Williams when the fat kid goes over and goes, "There you are, Peter."
That's not the fat kid.
Yeah, it is. Oh, it's a little kid. It's a little kid. I apologize.
The fat
little
kid is Thud, who does the Thud ball. It's not him.
You're right. It's the little kid. The little kid goes, "There you are, Peter." I'm watching Sean Doolittle last night. That was nasty, filthy Sean Doolittle. That's the dude that nobody wants to see out of the bullpen. He is back. He is back. That was awesome, dude. Tell me how much like yourself you felt in that moment.
Oh, man, that was a lot of fun. And you know what? Look, everything's running together. After game four, I got some good results. I was happy with how I pitched, but I knew I wasn't quite back. I was actually happier with how I threw the ball in game two. Even though Muncy clipped me, I thought I threw the ball better that night. But I went back and watched a bunch of film from that, the save I got against the Phillies, in the last homestand of the season. I struck out the side and, I didn't chop it up that much. I didn't micromanage it that much. I didn't like pause it and zoom in. And I just wanted to watch it just to feel and see if I could get something to sink in. Because I was on a different level that night mechanically and just how everything was coming out of my hand. So, I had a great throwing session before game five and, I felt really, really good. And, you know, I didn't get to pitch in the wild card game. You know, I didn't get to pitch the night that we clinched the playoff spot. But for my number to be called and to be on the mound, after, you know, to clinch a series win, and for everything it means for this organization and for this team, that was incredibly special.
One of my favorite moments of the postseason so far is when our guest, Sean Doolittle, is walking off the field after his last out of a four-out appearance for Game 4 mid-inning, and you couldn't help but smile. I saw you on the big screen, like everyone's doing, and you're getting right up on the dugout. I don't know if you caught something in the crowd or if it was just you were overcome with a little happiness, but it was. You don't see that very often. Normally, these stoic robots just walk off the field emotionless. Not you. What caught you there?
You know, coming off the mound, seeing the crowd going nuts, and then seeing how fired up everybody was in the dugout, it just kind of all hit me. To be in that position, you know, about to force a game five. After the way that, you know, there were a lot of things that didn't go the way that I wanted them to go this season, for me personally. But when I went on the IL, my goal was to do whatever I could to be there for the team, to help them down the stretch and into the playoffs. And, I know it's been a little bit of a bumpy ride, but to have a really solid outing like that in a must-win game at home in front of a packed house, and to see everybody waiting for you in the dugout when you're coming off the field after you just grinded out a multiple inning appearance. It just kind of all hit me at once, how cool that was. And I couldn't help it.
Sean Doolittle with us here after the Nationals are going to the National League Championship Series, mind you, almost as if it's named after them, to play the St. Louis Cardinals. Sean, where's the lightsaber now, and do you carry it on or check it?
It's in my room, my hotel room, and I carry it on. Mm-hmm. I think it's the safest thing for everybody. You don't want it to, go off and do some damage underneath the plane during the flight. So, I had to clean it up last night,
you know, it was smelling pretty good after all of the partying in the clubhouse and stuff. And so it's ready for its next party.
Yeah, I saw the picture that the wife posted of you guys on the mound. You had the lightsaber, and she said she was proud of her pale-legged husband, which is funny because I've never seen whiter legs in my life. I'm sure that was like the lighting and maybe that they were wet or
and the
I don't
whiteness.
Know. Like fresh out of the shower legs. I've never seen whiter legs.
I appreciate you trying to make excuses, but I think that's just my legs.
That's just them?
That's just my legs. They don't get much sun. I mean, I don't, when we're outside for batting practice and stuff, well, you know, we got pants on and stuff, so they don't see the light of day very much.
You guys are on to the NLCS. I guess before we let you go, just give you an open forum here. What are you thinking about taking on the Cardinals? This has been a pretty magical run. You're trying to keep going into game one with likely Anibal Sanchez pitching tomorrow, and then you'll be back home in front of hopefully 40-plus thousand in the sellout crowds in the NLCS. Nats fans, it's going to be a crazy week.
Oh, my gosh. It's going to be fun. I think as crazy as last night was, it's just the beginning for this group. And I know that a lot's been made about this organization, you know, winning its first playoff series, I believe since 1924. Is that right?
Yeah. Within D.C. baseball, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, we're incredibly proud of that accomplishment, but we're not. We don't want to be done yet. This group has so much fun playing together and fighting together. You know, why not? Let's keep it going. I know a lot of people kind of counted us out in May, and we stuck together as a group, and this is a special group, and I'm just really proud to be a part of it. And it's still, you know, last night has kind of barely sunk in, to be honest with you, but you know, by the time we get on that plane here in a couple hours, it'll be all business. I think we might have a light workout tonight when we get into St. Louis, just to knock the cobwebs off and get focused for game one. We got Anibal going. You know, he pitched really well in game three when he was out there, so feeling good about that. I don't know. Hopefully this is just the beginning. But it's been an incredible run so far. We just want to keep it going as long as we can.
Sean, I'd hesitate to speak for all Nats fans, but I'll do my best. It means a lot to us as fans for this to happen, but it also means a lot for it to happen to you guys, because it's a great group. You've been wonderful to us all season long, and you're right, you guys are not done. Congratulations, man. Soak up this experience and go get those guys in St. Louis. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, not bad. I'm glad the A's let you back to the Nationals and the Yankees let Max Scherzer back to the Nationals. And Davey and Rizzo got their jobs back for
really
last
nice.
Night.
Really nice.
It worked out. Thanks, man.
Thanks, guys.
There's Sean Doolittle on Grant and Danny. It's all jokes now. Everyone's having a good time, right?
We're having fun.
Everyone's
it's
got
a good
jobs.
Good time.
You're listening to The Fan. We will put a bow on one of our more fun shows in a while next. Thank you to the Nationals for what has been a great day at work. Thank you for giving us a week of joy and talking about baseball. And we get another week of it coming up on Grant and Danny. It's going to be your one-stop shop for all things Nats throughout Red October, which we are excited about. We kick off the show today and spent the entire day talking Nats, but we like to always wind down some of our Thursday broadcasts with our pal Evan Abrams, who's on with us, sponsored by the Action Network. Looking for an edge? Download the free Action Network app and get live odds and expert analysis for every game. Evan, you can imagine in D.C. we are still coming back to life after a celebration last night. Speaking of odds, they were stacked against the Nats, and they found a way to win.
Yeah, insane. You guys might want to send some. First of all, thanks for having me on. You guys want to send some chocolates to Clayton Kershaw. I mean, you know, it's
poor
insane
guy.
It's insane how that ends up happening. I mean, you sometimes can't even explain it. I believe in his career, never giving up homers on back-to-back pitches like that. I mean, it happens in a flash, and that's why the baseball playoffs are the best. But listen, you guys have to be having a fun day.
We are, and I know that the numbers generally are what you deal in and the odds and all the things coming out of Vegas. But I am curious, like, sometimes things can't be explained. How should we even make sense of Kershaw's postseasons? It's nuts.
I mean, it's nuts, and from a betting perspective, believe me, it's looked into by people who are betting the sport. I mean, the Dodgers were minus 173-ish last night, and you had a ton of big bets come in on the Dodgers. Everyone assuming everyone's going to move forward. They've been there before, but listen, this is why they play baseball, and that's why tonight's game, guys, may be one of the most fascinating lines, I mean, you could ever think of. In a winner-take-all game five, just like we saw last night, you've got Houston at minus 270 right now.
Well, speaking of big lines in the NFL this weekend, once again, we got double-digit point spreads. Again, this was so unusual when I was, you know, within just a few years ago, Evan, but once again, here we are, New England two-touchdown plus favorite. You've got the Ravens as double-digit favorites, et cetera. Any lines out of whack to you this week?
I mean, I'm not going to call tonight's line out of whack when you look at the injuries on the Giants side and the fact this is the biggest spread in Thursday Night Football history. I'm not going to sit there and say it's out of whack just based on what we've seen. I think the Baltimore line is a little out of whack. I mean, listen, what we've seen from Cincinnati so far is literally the results on the page. But I think the line's a little inflated. I have some Cincinnati money myself. There's a few trends that don't exactly go Baltimore's way in this spot, especially double-digit road, you know, division team, division dogs and things of that nature, 56%. Always kind of lean that way. But to me, it's a little out of whack, but nothing crazy, guys. I mean, this is the new age NFL.
Redskins, Dolphins, what did the numbers start at? Where is it at now? What's going to happen?
Man, this is the fun one this week, right? I mean, when you look at two teams that couldn't be going more negative right now, you've got Washington -3.5 on the road. The over-under's 41. And listen, you've got all the bettors lining up on Miami. 54% of the tickets, 60% of the money. And the one trend I'm going to play in this one is Miami first half. So teams off of three straight games of 14 points or less are 43-14-1. 75% in the first half since 2008. I mean, this is a spot. Listen, the Dolphins are a team that you don't know what you're going to get, but there's talent on the roster. You've got Rosen there. They're at home. Washington's been atrocious. So I think Miami first half is an interesting look.
Evan Abrams, the Action Network, with us on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Hey, real quick, I know it's a little change of pace because we're baseball-centric today from normal.
Sure.
But before we let you go, you mentioned that Rays-Astros game five tonight. What are the numbers on that? Because I'm intrigued. You know, Tampa Bay was a massive underdog. They have beaten Justin Verlander and Zach Greinke. I can't imagine they beat Gerrit Cole. But it would be one of the biggest upsets probably in Division Series history.
Yeah, I mean, we have baseball's data back to 2005 in BetLabs, and we've never seen a winner-take-all line of minus 270. I believe
wow.
210, something of that nature, is the highest we've seen. And then the thing you're looking at here, guys, 55% of the tickets on Tampa, the line's continuing to fall. No team has won a playoff series as a 2-1 dog since 2011 Cardinals against the Phillies. And this is what the Rays are up against tonight. And I think there's value in the run line, +1.5. It's plus money. Listen, if this gets tight late, Astros are going to get tight late. So that's the way I think you got to look at it.
Evan, great info as always, buddy. We'll talk to you next week, man. Thank you.
Great time.
Appreciate you. There's Evan Abrams from the Action Network. Let's round out the day with a couple of calls. Will Haymarket, you get one of the last thoughts on the Nats. What do you got?
I will.
Hey, just super excited for them. I mean, you just couldn't have a better group of guys. They're fun, they're humble, they're resilient. And a couple of guys, and you guys have been talking about him. I'm so happy for Doolittle. He had such a tough year. To come back and be able to close it out in Game 5 was huge. Very happy for Corbin. Had that disaster outing in relief. Came back and made a huge contribution last night. And can you say any more about Howie Kendrick? I mean, three big errors, but got a grand slam in the 10th inning.
That was
unbelievable. And lastly, Michael A. Taylor.
That's sports, man. That is sports. Claudia, headed toward Frederick.
Hey,
what's going on?
What's up?
Yes, there last night, three real quick things. Redemption for Patrick, redemption for Howie, and I don't know if you guys are, you know, you're not big on baseball gods, but I was sitting there folding my origami cranes last night, and I've been folding them since May. And to look at the final score last night, 7-3, and who started for us? 37. The karma is with us. The karma is with
us. I'm so confused. Did you say you were at the game, Claudia?
I was at the game. I can't believe that I can talk. I was in the club level, and I had a table in front of me. And I have witnesses, and I have people that I've given those origami cranes to. So I'm not making this stuff up.
No, I'm on that. I believe in cranes. Are you? You're talking about the watch party, or you were in L.A.?
I was in the watch party.
Okay.
I was trying to do the math on this.
I'm like, how did you land? You red-eyed. You sound amazing right now.
Origami
you're not
cranes
even
on the plane.
Please send me the origami cranes for the Cardinal series.
We would like to display one.
I need one of those for the Cardinal series. I don't even know what to do. Is it like when you're a kid and you do the like five times and you're
like you're
going
to marry somebody, what job
yeah,
you
you're
have,
gonna marry,
the car.
You're going to marry Jessica. You're going to be
you're driving a Datsun, but you're a CEO.
You remember
that makes sense.
You're going to drive a Nissan 350Z and you're going to be a janitor. Like. That's how the game works.
I always cheated on those, by the way.
Of course you did.
Did you? I love those things. What were those called?
You'll never get me to know that. Remember that. Whatever.
I can't pull it, and it's too late. Chad Dukes versus the world next. They've got Adam Eaton at 3:30. Make sure you're listening.
Nationals won. Goodbye, everybody.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.